It's been a couple of years since an upscale bar opened up on the West Plaza with a monarch butterfly theme. It's called the Monarch Bar, and in the time it's been open, it's become one of the most talked about bar menus in the city. So we thought we'd check it out for our cocktail and happy hour show on KCUR's Central Standard. But I didn't take just anyone along with me. I decided to pay the bar a visit with one of the world's foremost monarch butterfly experts. He ordered a drink called the West Coast Migration.
I think I like the idea of the West Coast Migration because the West Coast Migration is really hurting this year. The monarch butterflies on the West Coast have been way down. They need a boost.
And they're going to get it when you order this drink?
I'm going to drink and make the whole thing better.
And I got the Sassafras Fizz. It comes in a metal cup with a metal straw. It's super fancy, and it's fizzy.
Holy smoke. What are you drinking? My goodness. And you've got Boylan root beer, egg white double cream, barrel-aged Demerara, and then you've got bergamot. Do you know what bergamot is?
I feel like bergamot goes in like soaps or teas or...
It's one of the native plants here. It's a mint.
My drinking buddy is Chip Taylor. He has a white beard and rosy cheeks, and you can easily imagine him out in a field somewhere wearing a vest with lots of pockets. He's the head of Monarch Watch, where they're studying and ultimately trying to protect monarch butterflies. The Monarch Bar, meanwhile, upholds its theme very thoroughly with a stunning fleet of glass butterflies suspended in flight over the bar and an elaborate menu that traces the monarch's migration. Every drink draws on inspiration from the places the monarch travels. And when I call this menu elaborate, we're talking table of contents through glossary.
If you don't have anybody to talk to when you're here at the bar, you can read the menu.
The chapters are Mid-America, Pacific Coast, Atlantic Coast, Transatlantic Crossing, and Floribian. That's Florida and the Caribbean.
We left out Australia, New Zealand, and a few other places like Hawaii, but that's all right.
We're here really because the Monarch Bar has gotten some big awards lately, national awards. They're James Beard semifinalists for Best Bar Program. That's huge. But word on the street yields mixed reviews, with fans loving the commitment to the theme bar concept and skeptics left wondering if it's all a bit much. And my answer to both is yes. It turns out you can learn a lot about monarchs by drinking here with Chip Taylor, who slips into reverie from time to time, in this case, about how the monarch butterfly got to Europe. How did a butterfly cross an ocean? This mystery is mentioned on the drink menu, and Chip has a theory.
Now, you would have thought if monarchs had crossed the Atlantic in Shakespeare's time, there would have been... in one of Shakespeare's plays, right? I mean, there would have been some mention in Shakespearean literature or at that time about a butterfly that is so magnificent, but it never did until after the steamship was invented. So the proposition that I would propose here, the premise that I have, is that monarchs hitch rides on ships periodically.
As far as Chip's concerned, the Monarch Bar's theme is very well executed. And he is especially delighted by the added touch of coordinates on the menu, latitude and longitude for every drink.
I have gone to, let's say, call them drinking establishments with colleagues. And we do talk a lot about things like latitude and longitude and habitat and population dynamics and demography and, you know, things of that sort that the ordinary person doesn't talk about, but we get ragingly excited about.
Though he does see a missed opportunity.
We should have a drink called the Painted Lady. You know why?
No, I do not.
Because that's a Painted Lady butterfly right there on the menu.
He's pointing to an illustration of a real type of butterfly, not a monarch, called the Painted Lady. It's being used here as a motif, and Chip is scandalized that there's not a drink named after it. You have to admit, he has a point.
The Painted Lady is probably the world's most abundant butterfly. It has a tremendous migration. It goes all the way up to the Arctic Circle, and then migrates back down to North Africa again. So it's probably the longest migrating butterfly in the world.
So a butterfly called the Painted Lady does seem destined to become a cocktail, and its absence from the drink list really bothers Chip.
I'm still looking for this Painted Lady drink, but we don't have one here.
He decides to mention it to the manager, Kenny Kors.
You ought to have a drink called the Painted Lady.
We did have one, yeah. Two menus ago, we had a Painted Lady. Yeah, we've got... on this current menu, we have Purple Emperor, and we're going to do kind of a female version of the next one called the Empress of Isla.
That's okay. I still have hope that the butterfly knowledge Chip dropped on the manager during our outing will inform the menu.
I got to tell you one thing about the monarch butterfly, the history of the monarch butterfly name. When the pilgrims first came to the U.S., they saw this incredibly large and beautiful orange butterfly. Orange, really distinctly orange. And at that time, the King of England was William of Orange. So they called the butterfly King Billy.
We have to remember that. Maybe we'll make a cocktail called King Billy sometime.
Science really does find its way into this bar in all kinds of unexpected ways. For example, a whole selection of low-alcohol drinks made specifically for rehydration. I am clearly confused by this. The ingredients, I can't quite tell, like champagne acid, do they contain alcohol? Our server, Tiffany, explains.
They're more meant to like help you recover in the morning or kind of to negate the effects of alcohol tomorrow. And that's really like the coconut water helps along with the like electrolyte complex. Our bar director, Brock Schulte, actually went to school for chemistry. So you can see a lot of that through a lot of his cocktails and last call mocktails, if you will.
So, sure, you could see this whole place as gimmicky, but the bar is stunning, the drinks are strong, and you know, there are plenty of non-themed bars to choose from if the whole butterfly thing just seems silly to you. But I honestly learned a lot, and I raise my glass to knowledge.
And I get the ching-ching.
I'm Gina Kaufman, fully recovered from my night out at Kansas City's award-winning Monarch Bar with butterfly scientist Chip Taylor of KU. In just a minute, our food critics join us here on KCUR's Central Standard on a search for the best cocktails and happy hours in and around town. Stay tuned.
Thank you.
I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard. And now some of our food critics are here to talk about drinks. Jenny Vergara, Mary Block, Pete Doolin, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we are going to get to happy hours later. I want to kick this off with each of you telling me about the one cocktail that if you were going out tonight, this would be the one you'd most feel like enjoying. Now, do not overthink this. The delicious drink you're ordering tonight out in Kansas City is?
For me, it's going to be the martini at the campground. And this martini is interesting because of the setup, and that is actually the way it is presented. Christopher Cecil, who is the barman and owner, obviously, of the campground, has this beautiful silver tray, and it's this nice little cordial glass with a beautiful gin martini, classic 3-to-1 ratio of vermouth to gin. And next to it is a little tray of olives and a little tray of, like, lemon peel. And then he has a little tiny paper kind of place setting for potato chips. And so the idea is obviously for you to make it, you know, with a twist or with, you know, dirty or with olives or however you want it. You can
it's kind your, of, like, personalized
yes,
bar.
You can kind your of customize
bar.
Your martini. And then the salt potato chips are just to, like, clear your palate and help you kind of enjoy that cocktail. But I love the martini there. I love the cute setup. And I'm telling you, the potato chips make a difference. I don't care what anybody says.
And where is the campground?
The campground's in the West Bottoms. It's actually where the old Genesee Royale used to be.
And Mary, you're drinking tonight in your dream.
Okay. We're pretending it's 65, not 40.
Okay. Yes. I'm with you.
Okay. At Port Fonda, they have a prickly pear Paloma. It's very refreshing. And I like a Paloma, except that I...
What is a Paloma?
A Paloma has grapefruit and tequila, typically. And I'm not huge... lover of grapefruit. And this one uses prickly pear instead. And it's got tequila, prickly pear, blackberry, cucumber, a lime soda, and salt.
This is the earliest I've ever craved a cocktail, Mary. Thank you.
It's really good. And the other really, besides being tasty, it's beautiful. Mm. It's got that lovely prickly pear purple.
Mm-hmm.
So, Pete.
All right.
Which drink on your list is just the one you would go for tonight?
Now that we're technically getting into warmer weather with spring, I like to bring out more gin-based cocktails that appeal to me. So I would go for the She's So Tasty at Waldo Thai.
Mm.
So Daryl Liu has a great cocktail program there. And this cocktail is made with Uncle Val's botanical gin. And it has that gin has citrus, sage, lavender notes. And then it rounds it out with some citrusy yuzu, which is a fruit, sweet honey, and then herbal minty shiso leaves, which is the namesake of the cocktail. And so you just have a lot of flavors going there to liven up the gin.
Is there a trend in Kansas City cocktails that anyone here would care to mention just as we get started? Something you're seeing a lot, something you're not seeing as much, just any overall assessments to share?
You know, for me, I think the cocktail menus are kind of split right now. I think craft cocktail bartenders are really interested in doing one side of their menu, truly classic craft cocktail, pre-prohibition style drinks. And then I think the other half is where they're able to just do wild cards all night long. So I think we're seeing a lot of menus where you can have a classic old-fashioned if that's what you're in the mood for, but you can also kind of go to the other side and see how the bartender has kind of taken some of these ingredients and just dialed them up with their own kind of sense of flair. So I love that. I love that we can have both those choices.
Or made them seasonal. So yeah, depending on what the ingredients in the market happen to be, mm-hmm, they can change it up.
I feel like I'm seeing more cocktails working with a range of tastes, like non-sweet ingredients that have been muddled or what have you. Like, Jenny, talk to me about the Teague at Soft Conspiracy.
Yeah, the Teague. So Soft Conspiracy is the private lounge in the back of Julep, and you have to make a private reservation to do it. The bartender rolls up to you with a beautiful bar card. And in this case, the bartender is Mark Escobar, and this is his drink that he's developed for his cart. And the Teague is basically a tequila blanco, apricot, and jalapeno shrub, and it's got Thai basil and a little absinthe, and I'm just an absinthe freak. I love it. So this drink is made for me. But, you know, it's so classy to have a bartender come up, you can have conversation with him, you can choose your drink. But in this particular case, there's a lot of fresh flavors going on here. And I think this has to do with the craft cocktail bartenders doing what chefs do, which is just in season, you know, sourcing ingredients and coming up with the flavors that go well together. But this, if you love tequila, this is a fun little kind of spring drink for you.
And Pete, you are recommending a drink that's actually called I'm Not Sweet.
Right. So this is another cocktail by Daryl Liu at Waldo Thai. And so it infuses Raku gin with kaffir lime leaves, mm-hmm, which are not very common. They're not easy to find. But it has a very distinct aroma, very aromatic, and a subtle lime taste. It's a little bit different from just like your average lime. So he rounds out the drink with Dolin Vermouth Blanc, also Dolin Vermouth Dry, and then rounds it out with Regan's Orange Bitters. So it heightens the citrus notes that you're getting from that kaffir lime.
Yum. This is at Waldo Thai.
Yes, yes.
Obviously in Waldo.
Right, right.
We should also mention we're kind of right in the middle of the season where all the bartenders are changing their menus. So we're going from more winter whiskeys and deeper flavors and cinnamons and those kinds of things now into much more spring-like ingredients. And you can see that in our recommendations today, I think.
You know, our critics here on KCUR's Central Standard, get out there and try it all. They can tell you not just where to go for a tasty excursion. Their recommendations get down to the nitty-gritty of what to order. Who specifically is making that thing? What the life experiences that the chefs and bartenders rolling up personalized carts in some cases are bringing to the job. It's a really exceptional thing that we offer here. Mary Block has a cocktail with matcha in it that perhaps we'll be hearing about later. We've heard about cocktails with absinthe, with every range of ingredients you can imagine, with jalapeno. We will be right back. We're back. I'm Gina Kaufman. More cocktails now and happy hours on the way with the food critics. Today, they are Jenny Vergara, Mary Block, and Pete Doolin. Welcome back, you all.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So in just a minute, we are going to talk happy hours, and I hope people are tweeting their well-kept happy hour secrets to us at KCURCST. Don't be afraid. You want to share the wealth. That's what public radio is about. But what makes for a great happy hour anyway? I'm curious what everyone's take on this is, Mary.
Well, I think the key is discounted drinks and food. I think we've come a long way in having really great food to go along with those drinks. And that is the key, certainly for my husband, who's a notorious cheapskate, and he loves happy hour for that reason.
So cheapness, also a good deal.
Yes.
Well, I think it started out as something that was discounted, obviously. But, you know, now we're seeing kind of early hour happy hours, which has always been a thing, starting about 3 or 4 o'clock. And we're doing kind of late hour happy hours, which are kind of fun, too. So for those of you who can't get out of work early and get to someplace, you can always kind of stop in after a show and do kind of a late night happy hour, which is fun.
So start sending those tweets at KCURCST. We'll be sharing those on the air later on. But for now, okay, let's stick with our cocktails for the time being. Pete Doolin, talk to me about the honey rose lemon daiquiri and Jamaica hibiscus, two lovely sounding drinks at La Bodega.
Yeah, absolutely. So daiquiris aren't a type of cocktail that you see a lot on local menus, at least I don't. And again, as we're kind of approaching spring and summer, daiquiris sound really delicious. La Bodega has classic and modern daiquiris. So this honey rose lemon daiquiri, it's made with Cruzan light aged rum, Giffard black rose liqueur, honey syrup, lemon juice, and rose petals. So something that's very light, summery, refreshing. It sounds like a great way to kind of beat that humidity that's going to be coming later this summer.
I'm honestly quite surprised to see a daiquiri on anyone's list, and here's why. I love daiquiris, but my pride hurts a little if I order one because it's sort of like this classic like the girly drink.
Well, that might be the perception, but I think that La Bodega kind of takes it to that next level. And it's I've had daiquiris in on vacation in Miami where they're just so refreshing if they're well executed. And then when you use premium ingredients and craft it together, you get something that's a little bit more than just a sickly sweet drink. So it's very refreshing. Another thing that La Bodega offers, they have this great gin and tonic cocktail program. So they have several cocktails there where they take the basic gin and tonic, again, to another level. So the Jamaica is it uses local Lifted Spirits Bright Gin. It's a local distillery, Lifted Spirits. And then they add a hibiscus grapefruit tonic, cardamom bitters, orange peel, and dried hibiscus. So you're getting a lot of different flavors kind of packed into this gin and tonic.
That sounds really good.
Yeah, I wish I had one right now.
So these are two drinks at La Bodega, the Honey Rose Lemon Daiquiri and the Jamaica Hibiscus.
Gin and tonic.
Gin and tonic. That sounds awesome. Okay, and Mary Block, tell me about, you're recommending something at the Crossroads Hotel's new restaurant.
Yes, it's called the Matcha Ricky, and it's a play on the traditional gin Ricky. But this one, instead of the traditional gin, obviously, with cucumber, lime, and soda, they're using Tito's vodka and matcha, which is a Japanese-style green tea. And the matcha just adds a little bit of bitterness, and it's a really interesting take on a classic drink.
Is it green?
Yeah, kind of.
Mm. Kind of green, but apparently delicious.
It is.
And Jenny, can you talk to me about, you have a drink on your menu that has a slightly violent name, Don't Beat a Dead Horse.
But beet is spelled B-E-E-T, as in the vegetable.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so this is from bar manager and hyperlocal cocktail queen, Nicole Deering, and she's at the Webster House, and this is on her after-hours cocktail menu. And it's made with whiskey, Somerset Ridge Citron, which is a locally made kind of limoncello from Somerset Ridge Winery, ginger liqueur, candied beets, Fever Tree ginger beer, Peshad's bitters, and lemon oil. So it's got a lot of lemony kind of notes to it. And beets are obviously are really earthy, but add a sweet. And it's bright red. This drink is bright red. But it's very refreshing. I mean, it's just, to me, it's spring in a glass. I mean, it's kind of that perfect drink to make that transition from winter over into spring. And I love that it's on our late night menu, so you can go in late night and grab a drink and have some snacks after your show.
And Jenny, we just have a very little time left before we are going to hand it back over to the Fund Drive folks, but I wonder if you can tell me about the Tom Yum at Swordfish Tom's.
This is like my very favorite cocktail right now in town. I'm so excited about this drink. It's basically inspired by Tom Yum soup, and it's from Jill Coxon, who owns Swordfish Tom's. And it's made with lemongrass soju, which is like a Japanese rice-based spirit. It's got Tom Yum syrup that she makes with coconut milk, coconut cream, sugar with lemongrass, Thai chilies, ginger, garlic, Thai basil, and fresh lime. And it's creamy and milky, and it's got a little dehydrated lime wheel on the top with some fresh basil. It's delicious.
Mary, I think we have time for a quick review of one more cocktail. How about the Beautiful Bell at Manifesto?
The Beautiful Red Bell is a classic. Manifesto is celebrating its 10th anniversary this week, and I think this cocktail has been on the menu since it opened. It's a very light drink. Gin, bell pepper, lime, and mint. And it's
refreshing and green.
Yeah, it's really a lovely cocktail.
I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard. And now, finally, the best happy hours in Kansas City. Pete Doolin, author of KC Ale Trail, Jenny Vergara of Feast Magazine, and food blogger Mary Block. Hello again.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
All right, so Mary, you've got one at the Afterward Tavern and Shelves that is calling my name.
Yes. Well, this is a bar and bookshop. And
where is it?
It's in the East Crossroads area. They have a daily happy hour from 3 to 6 and all day on Sunday, which is unusual. Most happy hours are Monday through Friday. So the fact that this is all day on Sunday is a bonus. And you can get a $6 old-fashioned, Manhattan, Sazerac, Moscow Mule, or Mimosa. So just grab one of those and curl up with a good book.
That sounds good. Yeah, it's unusual to have a happy hour with also a book selection to enjoy with it. And you've got also a happy hour with pie that makes your list. Jenny, you like that one too at Rye.
I know. It's great. I mean, where else can you get a happy hour pie?
Well, and can I just say the best pie in Kansas City, arguably? I mean, one of the best pies in Kansas City you can get for $4 a slice during happy hour at both locations, both in out in Mission Farms and on the plaza. And they have a few other kind of savory snacks that are just cheap and cheerful, like deviled eggs. And I think chicharrones with barbecue dust or something, you know, kind of a spice on them. But I'm telling you, get the pie. Get a couple pieces of pie.
Get a couple.
And while you're at it, get an 8-ounce pour of wine for $8 or a $3 beer.
Yeah, they've got a good drink selection, too.
So we're hearing some recommendations from our listeners on Twitter. We're at KCURCST. I'm hearing that Underdog in Crestwood has $3 glasses of wine.
I think that's right. He set it up so he can do wines by the glass.
It is a fun place to go in and just browse with a glass of wine.
That
is
a wine store.
It is. You can buy whatever you're drinking.
We're getting lots of love for Westport Cafe's happy hour and Extra Virgin's happy hour.
Extra Virgin is my go-to happy hour.
It's classic.
It is. And it's the regular menu, and you just look to see what menu items are starred. And if they're starred, they're half price during happy hour. And we should mention that you should always go to social media and see exactly what the hours are, because they do vary. But the nice thing about Extra Virgin, because at least half their menu is available, you could have the poblano mac and cheese. You could have a hanger steak or my go-to potatoes bravas. It runs the gamut.
They've got a good selection.
Pete Doolin, you are echoing our Twitter recommenders with your Westport Cafe recommendation as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So they have happy hour from 4 to 6 p.m., but then also a reverse happy hour later from 10 p.m. till a little bit after midnight. And in addition to their fantastic cocktails, they've got some really great food options. Again, kind of pushing that French theme, but also some more adventurous upscale dishes there. So you can get grilled oysters, shrimp beignet, savory lamb skewers, or just, you know, really basic steak frites. So like some foods that aren't quite a meal, you know, a full-on dinner. But
you could make one out of it.
You could, mm-hmm. yeah. You could just kind of several dishes that you can share while you're imbibing your cocktail and having that social time. And they do a great job.
There's another Frenchy place on your list, and this one is sort of I feel like it's kind of a locally famous happy hour, though maybe it's only famous to me. I don't know. The Le Fou Frog happy hour.
Yeah, so Le Fou Frog, they're kind of an institution. They in the River Market, they've been around about 20 years now. And it's definitely a great place to go and wind down from the day at work or whatever you're doing. So they have deals on champagne and Cure Royale, wine and aperitifs. So you have a nice selection there. And then, again, some of their classic dishes like mussels steamed with white wine, mustard, bay leaf, and cream is a great, like, sophisticated way to kind of ease into the rest of the evening. They've got market-priced oysters. And it's just a lovely setting. It's, you know, it's a French bistro, so it's kind of set up to celebrate food and drink and life.
While we are downtown at European restaurants, Pete, go ahead and take me to the happy hour at Grenauer.
Sure.
Take me there.
All right. So Grenauer, it's kind of over by Union Station and Pierrepont in that freight house district. And they're notable because they're more of a Austrian food and beverage destination. And they've got some fun cocktails there, like the Stadttauber, I hope I pronounced that correctly, which is mango habanero vodka and Stiegel grapefruit radler poured over ice with a Pimm's blackberry elderflower float and lime garnish. So,
whoa.
Yeah, there's a lot in there. Yeah. And then you can also choose from you know, kind of traditional Austrian and German eau de vie, liquors and spirits. There's some classic kind of after-dinner drinks as well, apricot schnapps. And what I like about their happy hour is they have some great foods that also kind of echo what they offer on their menu, like the Hungarian-style pulled pork sliders on a pretzel bun. It's just a fantastic bite.
We are so on Twitter, some of the other recommendations we're getting from our listeners are The Brick, Bowlings, and Sava. Mary, you have a really extensive happy hour list. I just want to say, like, I could randomly pick the next one for you to share with us. But, I mean, how do you even begin? You are like, do you seriously? You go to, like, a lot of happy hours.
We do. That's kind of our go-to thing. My husband likes to eat a little earlier, and he likes to spend a little less money. So I'm showing my age here, but that's our favorite thing to do is go to happy hours. And so we've hit all the ones on my list, and I could have kept going.
Okay, tell me the one that you just, like, if you left here and didn't talk about it, you would cry.
Ooh.
Like cry, tears.
Cry. That's a tough one. You know, I think I would have to say Black Dirt, because they do happy hour every day, which, as I mentioned, is unusual. They do a reverse happy hour after 9, which we don't go to. And they have 20% off everything that they serve at the bar, as well as drink discounts. But you can get their hamburger, which I think is great. You can get their veggie burger, their fries. They have homemade tater tots. You can make a great meal. And I'm pretty sure, I shouldn't say this, I'm pretty sure you can get it outside too. And I love to eat outside at the patio.
So the Black Dirt happy hour is Mary's, like, the one you're most excited to be recommending today.
I think that and Extra Virgin are my go-tos.
Pete, while we're dining outdoors, you are recommending Tres o Mare.
Yeah, so Tres o Mare is located north of the river in the Barcliff development. And if you live in the Northland, or even if you're just downtown, you can hop across the river and be there in a few minutes. And they have a fantastic view there and a really expansive patio that faces south. So you kind of get a view of downtown Kansas City. And they have a great program there as far as the bar menu. You could get, you know, red and white sangria and classic cocktails and even like a margarita. They call it a spicy pepe. That sounds really intriguing. But what impresses me about their happy hours is the bar menu. You have dishes like short rib sliders, fish tacos, braised duck sliders, fried calamari, flatbreads, and you have this fantastic selection, but they're also like really super reasonable prices too.
Where are we going for a happy hour with charcuterie or cheese plates, guys? Where
Fox and Pearl.
Tell me more.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, it's agreed. It's currently popping up in the old novel space at 17th and Summit, soon to open a little bit south of there. But Vaughn Good, who was Hank Charcuterie, hence my recommendation for charcuterie, he was in Lawrence, and now he's doing great things over in that little house, and he has a beautiful charcuterie plate.
Cool. Jenny, tell me about Webster House's happy hour.
So I talked about this a little earlier. They have a late night happy hour that basically the bar manager, Nicole, is kind of running. And they have after hour happy hour that goes Wednesday through Saturday from 8 to 10. And then a late night happy hour that goes from 10 p.m. until whenever they're done. So probably about midnight, I'm guessing. But what I love is the she's got a lot of drink specials, of course, that she's offering, including the cocktail I mentioned earlier. But she also has this interesting selection of like pot stickers for $8, a charcuterie board for $16, a fried chicken sandwich for $12. A $10 black garlic burger with $8 poutine. And then late night, when you go kind of past that into the late night happy hour menu, it's more snack stuff. So you've got an herb flatbread, some pickled onions. You've got a smoked trout dip in there. Just kind of some lighter, snackier kind of things, less meal-like. But I love Webster House. It's that bar is like the coolest, you know, extra special spy library that you ever wanted to, like, go and have a drink in.
Just really quick for someone who hasn't been there, Webster House, like, what's the deal?
So Webster House is kind of this old school house that's down next to the Kauffman Center for the Performing Arts. It's probably turn of the century old. But the bottom level is retail space. So they've got shops and things that you can, knickknacks that you can shop for and jewelry and beautiful things. And then the upstairs is a beautiful restaurant. And then obviously off to the restaurant, they have the bar area, which they're really trying to kind of ramp up the bar program.
So this just in on Twitter, but like JJ's restaurant, JJ's now on the West Plaza, is getting a recommendation for their happy hour. The thing that surprises me here, it says they have a $5 pizza.
It doesn't surprise me. Yeah, they
tell
do
me
do
more
a,
about this,
Jenny. You,
yeah. They're known for, they're like a steakhouse.
Yeah. Well, so they've had their pizza on the menu, I think, for quite a long time. And I have to tell you, a bottle of their fantastic wine on their patio with a happy hour pizza, and you're done. I mean, that's the perfect night for me, as far as I'm concerned. They have a really interesting patio that I don't think gets utilized nearly as much or talked about nearly as much. But yeah, that the pizza is really good. They make it in house. It's homemade. It's
more like a flatbread,
more like a flatbread probably, but it's round and it comes in triangle slices and you can get what you want on it. It's delicious.
Mary, you have like 10 seconds to get one last one in there.
I would go for room 39 because they just started happy hour when they closed their Mission Farms location, and they're doing some really ambitious dishes, foie gras torchon with black waffles, Thai chicken meatballs, fettuccine,
you heard it
gnocchi.
Here first.
Give it a try.
We've got a skedaddle. Thank you so much to our critics, Jenny Vergara, Mary Block, Pete Doolin. Their official list of the city's best cocktails and happy hours will be online at kcur.org. Central Standard is produced by Melody Rowell, Chris Young, Coy Duggar, Suzanne Hogan, and intern Salisa Kalakal. Sylvia Maria Gross is our senior producer. Our theme music, which you're not hearing but usually would, is by Spoonbender Labs right here in Kansas City. I'm Gina Kaufman. Thank you for supporting KCUR's Central Standard.